Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It's an honor and a privilege to be bringing you the message for today. And our theme for this morning, as we can see, is built to last. And it's taken from the book of Proverbs, as we've just heard, chapter 8. And when I was thinking about built, being built and building and, you know, what actually came to my mind was Grand Designs. A little bit random, I know. I've got a picture, actually, of the programme. Has anyone watched it before? Yes, yeah. And, it's... It's on Channel 4, and it's presented by a gentleman called, Kevin MacLeod. Tunde and I, we sometimes watch this of an evening, and I guess I like it because it's, you know, you see, it's all about building a house, and while it's not a desire that I have right now, you know, we heard about Black History Month. A lot of my grandparents, and we hear our parents talk about going home to build a house or to have a plot of land. And so I guess it's an interesting programme from that point of view, and it's quite technical as well. But the programme, the premise is obviously that Kevin MacLeod meets a couple or a person about to embark on a project to build their own home. And some of the projects are quite impressive and vast, as you can see. But it's always a process, you know? And it's a journey for these people that are on the programme, and they start off hopeful with this vision to build a home. And along the way, as life happens, they face challenges, obstacles. Sometimes the materials don't arrive on time. You know, things happen, the house gets delayed being built. But by the end, Kevin MacLeod visits them in their new, beautiful, grand home. So, happily ever after? Question mark? I'm not sure. The thing about entertainment is it's always often short-lived, which is why Netflix does so well, because you can watch again and again and again and again, and the story continues. But in the case of Grand Designs, we aren't updated on their progress in terms of how they're kind of getting on living in their new home, whether the house is even still standing. It's an interesting one. But as believers and as followers of Christ, what does it mean for us to build our house on a rock? And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean a house in kind of this sense, but, you know, what are the spiritual ingredients we need to make to remain resilient in changing seasons? How do we keep our faith rooted in the right foundation? Well, as we sung earlier, and as the Bible says, God is indeed our rock. You can go to the next picture. Taken from Psalm 62. And there are plenty of references for us to read about God, our rock, in the Bible. So 2 Samuel chapter 22 says, "And he is the Lord, is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? Praise be to my rock, exalted be God, the rock, my saviour." And as Cheryl read earlier, Psalm 62, a psalm of David, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. In Numbers 20, God tells Moses to bring water out of a rock. The Israelites are thirsty, tired, fed up. They're in the wilderness. I think they're in the desert of Zin. And Moses strikes the rock twice, and there's enough water for everyone and their livestock to drink. So it says water came out abundantly. The Apostle Paul goes on to interpret this for us. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, "They drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Christ is our rock." And when we look at a rock in the physical sense, if you ever held a rock, it's like really tough and hard. And it's a material that we associate with words like strength, unmovable, and mighty. God is our rock. He's the rock of ages, the Almighty and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace, our helper and our deliverer, our rock. In his love, he is here for us. And when we surrender to Jesus, we see him move in our lives, in our situations. As we prayed earlier, he's bigger than any problem, any situation, even bigger than this pandemic. And he is still a miracle-working God. Is he not? Yes. Amen. And the parable about building your house on a rock in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. I know we heard it earlier, but I'll just read it again. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So Jesus tells us that, you know, if we listen to him, if we hear his sayings, if we follow them, he likens to a man who built his house on a rock, steadfast, strong, resilient, despite the changes, challenges, and all of the above. He explains that if we don't follow, it will be as if we built our house on a sand. I've got an image of sand, actually. So it's a bit of a sidestep, but we were at the coast early September. It was Southend, which ironically is a pebble beach, but we managed to find a plot of sand. And we did some building of sandcastles. And every time I tried to build something, Emmanuel would come and knock it down, so it didn't last. But, you know, sand is, when we think about sand, when we hold sand through our hands, when we dig our feet into the sand, it's soft. It's not resilient. It's, you know, it's very light. So there's no competition, really, is there, between sand and a rock? So moving on to our chapter for today. Today's theme is obviously based on Proverbs 8. And verse 10 says, choose my instruction instead of silver. So the first way we can ensure we have the right foundation, as we've been talking about, is by hearing and reading the Bible through spending time in his presence. And that can be through prayer, devotion time, being open to what the Holy Spirit is saying and then following it. And I feel that sometimes where we fall down, we hear, we listen, we read, we talk, but do we follow? I know I've been guilty at times of hearing the instruction loud and clear and still going my own way, kind of like the foolish man, you know? Thankfully, Jesus is also a forgiving God, and we can go to him and ask him for forgiveness. But who are we following? Like, who are we really following? I think of social media. Obviously, everyone, it's all about building your following, hashtag, you know, trending and all this stuff. And I actually work in an industry that is, you know, focused on social media. And the other day, I think David Attenborough created an account. Actually, it wasn't him. It was actually two people that he works with. So I think a cameraman and a producer or whatever. And they, you know, obviously David Attenborough is, you know, is a patron of so many things in the world. And they built this social account. And within 2 hours, he had 5 million followers. 2 hours. Can you imagine? So it just sort of was like, that's David Attenborough. What would happen if Jesus had an account on social media? Social media isn't bad. But, you know, as Christians, I do believe that we need to be careful and be intentional with how we spend our time and in what we consume. Which leads me on to the call of wisdom. Jesus tells us that the wise man built his house on a rock. The wise man. So wisdom plays a big part in this. And as one Christian writer puts it, for the Christ follower, it isn't fear of being struck dead or the fear of hell, but a reverential, holy fear, respect and having a high regard for God and his word. Where there is deep reverence for God and his word, you'll find wisdom. The Bible tells us that Christ is the wisdom and power of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. So the wisdom of God is one of Jesus' titles. And I remember when I first came to faith thinking that it was people that were older than me that were wise, the wise ones. But true wisdom comes from God. It doesn't matter how old you are. And we have the choice to run after it, to run after wisdom. In our main scripture for today, and feel free to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8, because I'll be reading some of the verses and kind of breaking those down. But it shows us that wisdom is accessible. So verses 1 to 3 say, does wisdom not call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. Wisdom here in this chapter is personified, in this verse, as a woman, Lady Wisdom. And she's contrasted with an adulterous woman who hides in street corners in Proverbs 7 in the chapter before. And wisdom competes against her and offers a different way. So wisdom calls out freely. Wisdom lives in high places. It does not tempt, it does not agonize, it does not seduce. The call of wisdom is clear and it's inviting. And even if we sidestep into the New Testament, we're reminded that if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask. Hallelujah. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Isn't that amazing? It says, and it will be given to you. Reading on in Proverbs 8, wisdom's call is also personal and individual. God cares about you, cares about us all, but he cares about you. To you, O men, I call out. So I'm reading verses 4 to 5. To you, O men, I call out. I raise to all mankind, you who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. The call is for everyone. It reminds us that we must not lean on our own understanding. And so I think to gain wisdom, we kind of have to get over ourselves a little bit. Do you know what I mean? It's like what I said earlier about feeling and thinking that, oh, only the wise people that are older than me can be wise. We've got to shake out a lot of these thoughts that we have sometimes that hold us back from just letting go and letting God, you know? The call doesn't just stop with us. We are a part of his plan. So we must trust him. And we must remain in this teachable state where we seek him for each thing in our lives, for every area of our lives. Chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it's not the one who sits back necessarily and thinks that, you know, they know it all, but it's the one who hungers and thirsts to be taught, to be instructed, to be guided by God's wisdom who will grow. When I was reflecting on this yesterday, the Holy Spirit gave me this image of a plant, you know, like a plant, a soil, just a vision that came to mind. And in this sense, I kind of felt like, you know, God is like the water. If we're the plant, he's the water that helps us to grow. Wisdom's call also has purpose. Verses 6 to 7 say, "Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge." Wisdom's call is rooted in integrity. My mouth speaks what is true. I open my lips to speak what is right. And finally, wisdom's call is profitable. Reading on to 10 and 11. "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." So wisdom is not just about knowledge, but how to live well. Godly wisdom is the crucial ingredient we need to build the right foundation in our lives. The verse we've just read, you know, says nothing is comparable to wisdom. I don't know about you, I'm not really a bling person, but, you know, I like a nice watch. I'm probably talking to the ladies right now, but, you know, some of us like pearl earrings and, like, you know, a bit of a rock on their hand. There's no comparison to wisdom. Wisdom is more precious. Can you imagine the most precious thing in your life? Nothing can compare. So as we're journeying through this, asking how we can be built to last, I'd like us to consider a question. Do our daily actions, do the things that we do and say when nobody is watching, show that we desire God's wisdom more than all the wealth and the shiny things that this world holds out? Someone's asked me to say it again, so I will. Do our daily actions, so basically do the things that we do day to day, even when nobody is watching, show that we desire Jesus and his wisdom more than anything else? Just give you a moment just to reflect on that. Just wonder what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you on this and speaking to me on this. Knowing God and having a relationship with Jesus is the route to a perspective on life that changes our thoughts, our actions, our goals, our story. And I started with thoughts. What do we build our thoughts on? What do we spend our time thinking about, reflecting on? Is it what the media is reporting right now? Is it the latest hashtag? Is it about a financial situation? Worrying about the future? Is a relationship stealing your peace? Do you feel overwhelmed or exhausted? Or are you comparing your story to another person's? We are, of course, human. We're not perfect. I don't think we're called to be perfect, to be honest. We're called to serve him. And life can be challenging, but we have to learn to not let everyday distractions, everyday fears stop us from seeking him first, from trusting the Lord. Otherwise, we begin building our house on the sand. We become consumed, we become overwhelmed by the concerns of this world, and we sink. And that's not his desire for us. It's not his desire for you, it's not his desire for me. Let us build our thought life on biblical truths, truths found in Scripture. We heard earlier the Scripture taken from Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Family, we need to align our thoughts with truths found in his word. If we're feeling low, we only need to read a bit of scripture. Seek him. Meditate on that scripture. The word of God should be our daily bread. Is anyone hungry for more of Jesus? I know I am. And surround ourselves with people in faith. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron, right? Oh, by the way, did you listen to Crown Jewels on Friday? Sorry, I just remembered. So it was a show presented by Charlene and Jasmine on Friday on PHBC Radio. This show was about lust. And I was so blessed by it, you know, hearing these young women share their stories. I think the next show, they'll be sharing their testimonies. And I'm like, wow, look at that. Sharing their stories with others to encourage others. It's important that we surround ourselves with people in faith. Building a solid foundation on God starts when we believe and by standing on the word. True wisdom starts with a relationship with Christ, and by building our thought life, our entire life, on scripture, we become solid in our faith and our actions will follow. And I'm sure many of us have experienced the shift in our lives. You know, if you've been a Christian for a while, it's easy for us to sometimes think, oh, well, we've ticked that box. Wisdom, tick. But the truth is, he hasn't finished with us. He's got more to do through you and through me. And he is revealing it to us. Glory to God. A reading in Philippians verses 4 to 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Living this way requires us to leave some of the shiny things of the world behind. Desires that may not be what God wants for us and who God has called us to be. Desire in itself isn't bad, right? But I think what Proverbs 8 shows us is that desire needs to be disciplined and focused on the right things, not fleeting pleasure, but on wisdom. And our actions must therefore follow this. We have a choice to form habits rooted in a desire to seek him. So, for example, when we wake up each morning, we can grab for our phones or we can look at the word. We can begin our mornings with a time of devotion and prayer, shaping our day in his will. We can spend time in the day complaining, dare I say it, gossiping, or even replaying a hurtful event in our minds until anger builds up. Or, when these things happen, we can stop. Seek him, spend time in prayer, ask somebody to pray for us, or even pray for somebody else. We can take 5 minutes out of our mornings, of our day, to spend time with him. My Insta fam, I know who you are, with people on Instagram and social media. It's so easy to be caught up in what's trending on Instagram. I get caught up from time to time. I'll put my hand up and say I do. But we can also use it as an opportunity to seek out accounts that are, you know, showing scripture. If you're not following PHBC London, why not? But, you know, there are little nuggets of scripture throughout the week. And it's so nice when you go through your timeline and you're like, the word of God, yeah, I'm going to stop, I'm going to concentrate, I'm going to focus, I'm going to give this to you, Lord. We need wisdom in all areas of our lives, in our relationships, even if in our day-to-day. I constantly ask the Lord for wisdom in the workplace. It's hard. It's really hard working in marketing, you know, with people who have different, a worldly view on things. I'm constantly like, God, what do you want me to do here? Like, I don't agree. This isn't who you asked me to be. We need wisdom. Building our foundation on Jesus prepares us and builds our faith for the changing seasons of life. This visual here, as you can see, underneath, you probably can't read it so much, but so underneath the rock, there's the newspapers. One says climate change, one says recession, one says extremism, one says job losses, etc., etc. Life is not always easy. Trials can come at you from nowhere, ruining our peace and our contentment and our feeling of security. We're experiencing a storm right now, aren't we? But in faith, we can say our security is in Christ, and so this storm will not overcome us. When we understand that He is our rock, we can withstand any storm life brings. Jesus is so generous. He came to give us all abundant life, and He promises to satisfy our spiritual thirst with rivers of living water. So I say to you today, choose wisdom from God in all areas of your life. Recommit to pursuing a relationship with Him first. Wisdom contributes to our character. It helps us to become people of integrity, of ability, and people with peace. Whatever you can desire and wish from the world and the wealth of this world will be of no comparison. Will be of no comparison to the eternal value of God's wisdom. Remember, Jesus died for our sins so that we could be set free. He rose again and is here with us. In His love, He also has authority over our lives, so we should submit to Him and obey His teaching, following where He leads us. So let us desire wisdom and experience the joy, peace, love, health, contentment, fulfillment, things that gold, silver, and all material wealth cannot buy. And when you run after wisdom again and again and again, and again and again, you will have the right foundation to withstand anything. You will be built to last. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.